Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Whoa! Good job! Good job!
That's what I make a play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over Pirate 2, ready?
45, blast!
Yes, win, win!
45, blast!
Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby! Hang in there, little buddy. They're coming in.
This fun or what?
The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Brown right, box 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Hey, hut.
But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
This doesn't light your firemen. The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart. Focus and finish.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
Okay, that was weird. Good morning, everybody. It is 10:09 on your morning. We have had more technical difficulties in the last 15 minutes than I think I've seen in over 20 years of being in and around sports radio. That was just absolutely, absolutely hairy. I don't even know how you quantify that, guys. Again, I know these things happen. I know it's one of those things where sometimes all the greatest technology in the world slips through the cracks and things fall. But that was, man, that was I don't know how else to put that one, except, you know, apologies to all of our fans. We was never our intention to certainly arrive somewhat late, all of about 4 or 5 minutes late on air. But uniquely enough, without the signal, without the feed, it is kind of hard. But kudos to the guys that put it all back together, because for all of about 4 or 5 minutes there, you know, we're looking like we're a little bit clueless as to how we need to go about doing our business and comporting ourselves, because that was kind of hairy. Welcome to 60 Minute Sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Week 7 of the National Football League is on tap. The Bears and Buccaneers are in London today playing, the annual overseas game. In Major League Baseball last night, the Cardinals literally explode. Well, Albert Pujols explodes on the Texas Rangers 16-7, becoming one of only three players in Major League Baseball history to hit three home runs into a single game in the Fall Classic, the other two simply being Babe Ruth. And for those of you who remember Reggie Jackson, I don't think I'll ever forget that game with Reggie when he was with the Yankees, those three home runs. I remember laying on my laying on my little torso on my mom's carpeted floor in downstate Illinois, watching Reggie just go all the way off, and watching him, the third one, I swear, he hit it, he just looked, knew it was gone. It was just one of those magnificent bombs. But Albert Pujols last night joining an elite class of ball players as the Cardinals start to take control of that series, up now 2-1. For those of us in Middle Earth here, as I tend to call the Midwest, that are Cardinal fans, you got to be excited about that. Again, a couple of weeks before the end of the season, this team was dead. This team was nowhere close. The Brewers were dominating the Central, and it was basically a done deal. The wild card wasn't coming out of the same division. The Reds had fallen off. The Cardinals had faded, and all of a sudden, someone plugged the Cardinals and truly managed his team and coached his team. And the next thing you know, well, here they are, right in the hunt, and not only in the hunt, now up in the World Series, 2-1 against the Texas Ranger team, who may find itself again a bridesmaid at the wedding, unfortunately. But you know, for the Rangers, you've gotten here twice in the past two seasons. And I know a lot of people, even in the Middle Earth here, are kind of rooting for Texas just in hopes that they are able to do something and pull something out. But the harsh reality is you're playing a Cardinal team that, especially in that ballpark in Texas where the ball really flies out of that facility, is going to come up against some pretty decent pitching and a team that can put, you know, bats on the ball. So kudos to the Cardinals and Albert Pujols in the game last night. Again, 16-7 the win over the Texas Rangers. 10-12 for your morning fastest 60 minutes of sports. We'll be back after this.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer you do have a choice. And the time is now.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi, I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
10:13 for your morning fastest 60 minutes of sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore. Later on in the show today, we're going to give you the rundown. Well, actually, we're going to do that here in the next few minutes, a rundown of all the shocking things that took place in college football yesterday. Going to recap a little bit of the Cardinals' win over the Rangers. Talk, obviously, your fantasy football, because that's what we do around here. Tons of fantasy football. For those of you in the sportsbook.com survival pool, thank you for hitting me up this past week. I understand there's quite a few still alive in that pool. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So, without further ado, let's get into your college football. Some upsets and some stunners yesterday. Let's go right down the list of 25 down. Of course, 25-24 may have had the day out, but we'll see as we run through the list. But 23, Illinois gets, I don't want to say they got thumped by 21-0 to an unranked team, an unproven program that's getting better, getting healthier, at least on defense. And all of a sudden, it's an uphill climb in the Big Ten as Purdue 21, Illinois 14. Purdue takes it right to them. Illinois tried a late surge, but failed to recover the onside kick late in the game. And again, it comes away with its second straight loss. Illinois now 6-2 and certain to fall out of the top 25. Number 24, for some people, you know, that 24-7 win really wasn't as big of a win as many people kind of made it out to be. But again, Miami is an emerging program all over again, having to restart with all there, and yet they seem to muster up enough to find the game. Okay, hang on a second, guys. What is that? What is that? Okay, that was just kind of weird. Hopefully that's nothing more than just your delayed PC. Back to college football. Penn State, a 34-24 winner over Northwestern. Joe Pa continuing his legacy there. Houston, 63. The 19th-ranked Houston Cougars taking care of Marshall, 63-28. It's a ton of points. 7-17, Texas. 17 winner over ISU. Number 15, West Virginia, loses to Syracuse. And again, this is the second year in a row now West Virginia's lost to Syracuse. This time it's 49-23. Number 13, Nebraska rolls over Minnesota 41-14. Virginia Tech, a 30-14 win over Boston College. The 11th-ranked Kansas State Jayhawks take care of Kansas University, 59-21. Again, that's a basketball school. I maintain that. Number 10, the Oregon Ducks, a 45-2 winner. 45-2. Over Colorado. Number 9, Arkansas, 29-24 over Mississippi. Number 8, Stanford takes care of number 25, Washington. There's our anomaly. 65. You know what? I know they're ranked number 7th, but ladies and gentlemen, the Clemson Tigers are undefeated. They are for real. And believe me when I tell you, if you have not seen Clemson play, this is a fun team to watch. The 7th-ranked Clemson Tigers roll over North Carolina, 59. They did give up 38 points, but a lot of that, I'm sure, was in scrub time. Number 16, Mississippi State takes care of – I'm sorry, that's wrong. Let me do this right. Number 16, Michigan State, in an absolute Donnybrook against Wisconsin, wins the game on a late Hail Mary pass, 37-31. If you haven't seen it, check out ESPN. Check out the highlights. Great football game. Two very, very solid programs. This game came down to the Hail Mary pass, and who catches the pass but the other quarterback who was – you got to see it. Yeah, I'm probably not doing it justice, but you have one quarterback throwing, ball's tip caught by the other quarterback who just happens on his second effort to get the ball over the goal line, and Michigan State upsets the 6th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers 37-31. Number 5, Boise State takes care of Air Force 37-26. Number 4, Oklahoma State 45-24 over Missouri. Number 2, Alabama 37-6 winner over the once-vaunted Tennessee Volunteers. And, of course, number 1, LSU 45-10, rolling over number 20, Auburn. The upset special last night, the 3rd-ranked Oklahoma Sooners fall to Texas Tech in a game that really, it seems closer to 41-30 than it really was. Texas Tech controlled this game most of the game. They kept the foot on the accelerator and just never, ever let Oklahoma get a rhythm. Landry Jones looked lost a lot last night, looked confused. And suffice to say, it shows up this morning as the Oklahoma Sooners will certainly fall in the rankings. For a team like Oklahoma State to now move into that class category right behind Alabama now sets some things up really nicely. So number 1 will still be LSU, 2 will be Alabama, 3 will now probably be Oklahoma State. Boise should move to 4. Clemson should move to 5, assuming they don't jump Boise State, and we've seen stranger things happen. Certainly Wisconsin will fall probably to 8 or 9. Stanford runs its home to 15 straight, so they should be in good space, probably about number 7. Arkansas probably will not go to 8. I think that's probably where Wisconsin lands. Wisconsin's not going to fall far because, again, that was a great football game, two very, very good programs. I can't see them quite falling out of the top 10, but certainly some are 8-9, so somewhere in the mix with Arkansas and Oregon in that regard. Oregon also a one-loss program, so there you go. Oklahoma will certainly fall. I cannot see Oklahoma holding on to a top 10 spot, but I say that tongue-in-cheek simply because it is Oklahoma. They did put on a solid comeback. You know, again, will they get them some love out of the top 5? I can see them being in the top 5, but certainly somewhere 6-7. But I'll tell you who really should benefit from this. It is Oklahoma State. It is Clemson. Those are the two programs. For whatever the reason, probably because of Boise's schedule, they just won't get the love, even though they'll beat everybody you put up against them. They won't get the love, but look for Oklahoma State to move up to number 3 and to make some noise. And should LSU or Alabama falter, those Oklahoma State Cowboys can play. Please understand, they can absolutely flat-out play. So there you go. That's your college football rundown. We'd love to touch base on the National Basketball Association, but they can't seem to get themselves out of their own way. And that's, again, fans already know this is an issue of billionaires fussing with millionaires, and they're still millions and millions of dollars apart. And, you know, the NBA says, you know, we want this thing resolved. The ownership says we're willing to give 52-53%. The players say 50-50, and they just can't seem to. They're haggling over 2.5-3% may seem menial, but we're talking millions and millions of dollars, and there just does not seem to be a resolution on the on the horizon for them to sort that one out. So such is the case there. Now, to touch on some of just the racing going on now. Now we've had two deaths in the last couple of weekends now from the racing world. The MotoGP, as well as the IndyCar guy, of course, Dan Weldon, many of you know, died last week in a 15-car pileup that unfortunately did not, you know, again, he did not walk away from that. And I guess just yesterday, a MotoGP driver at 24s, I don't want to butcher his name, but it's Simoncelli, maybe, I think is his last name, lost his life after a crash in MotoGP yesterday. So, you know, a lot of, again, guys, you know this, when you play sports or play anything professionally at the highest level where there is physical forces, G-forces, and a lot of things to that nature, these things can happen, and there's no real way around it. Marco Simoncelli died of a chest, head, and neck injury after crashing, being hit by two other riders subsequent to his own crash. So, again, it is the nature of the sports that we tend to love and migrate to across the board. The drivers know it. You know, National Football League players who put that helmet and that gear on know when they step on that field, there certainly is a propensity for injury and up to and including death. We've seen players, unfortunately, hurt and injured and killed from baseballs, line drives, you know, sitting right back to pitchers off a baseball bat. It is an unfortunate part of the sports that we love. Yet the excitement and the thrills of all the high speeds and all the action and all the activity is often what drives us to those sports, to those things that we love. So as saddening as it is to see someone pass away, uniquely enough, it is not going to stop any of us from certainly watching next week. We keep our thoughts and prayers with Marco Simoncelli and the Dan Weldon family through everything that they're going through as they mourn the loss of the loved one. And then ultimately, today NASCAR will strap it up and those drivers will get in the cars and they'll get after it all again. Again, they live for it. And we as fans, we're probably a little not much better because we live for the thrill of rooting for our teams and our champions. But again, life is precious. Please understand that. Unfortunately, death is a part of this life. So hopefully you all can keep that in perspective as you keep the lost lives in your thoughts and prayers as we move forward for a wonderful Sunday morning. Again, week 7 of the National Football League. We had hoped to have your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks from our buddies at ESPN this week. I got a chance to check it out. Unfortunately, it did not make the production meeting. I'll see if I can find a way to at least feed this to you in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure how we're going to pull that off, but if for nothing else, we'll read off the picks of our buddies over at ESPN, Greeny and Golic, as they as often have done what they do when they have their production meetings. They do their Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. Some of their picks this week are just, I won't say they're comical. Again, these guys are professionals. They do what they do. But let's just say they're not doing very well this year. How about that? We'll leave it there. They're not doing very, very well. In the meantime, it is a great Sunday morning. Again, week 7. Had someone actually contact us and ask if we could replay a little bit of the Deion Sanders Hall of Fame message, just because he talked so much about his family and mom. And again, it's a fun piece of audio that I think a lot of you will get a kick out of. And this will set us up certainly for talking about your fantasy football as well as week 7 and the Event Picks 2011. And it actually may buy me some time to see if I can get these Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks to work. So check this out, y'all. This is Deion Sanders, the day of his Hall of Fame induction. We'll just give you a little tidbit of this.
Thank you. Lord, I thank you. Jesus, I love you. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. So, Lord, I thank you. So if you could bear with me, I'm going to run through a lot of thank yous because unfortunately, or fortunately, I played for 5 teams. It's not like I wanted to leave one, but I had to. So I got a lot of thank yous. Coach C, Coach David, Helen Capel, Coach Capel,
and suffered a massive heart attack. And his excitement to get here was so vital in who I am, what I am, and where I am today. Coach Ron Hoover, my high school coach, for kicking me off the team my junior year, although I'm the starting quarterback, that taught me a valuable lesson. But to this day, I still wasn't insubordinate in that cafeteria. I promise you I wasn't. I don't know what that lady was talking about. She was. Coach Bobby Bowden, the best college football coach ever. Jimmy and Donna Callaway, I love you because you love me like I'm your own. Mickey and Diane Andrews, my defensive back coach at Florida State. Coach Andrews, where are you? You taught me everything. I love you. The two things that you taught me, I could be two persons at the same time. You would yell at us, scream at us. Then the time we get in the cafeteria, how's the family? How's everything going? And you blessed me. Also, you made me the punt returner that I am. Because you remember that drill that you had that you laid this mat out on the field and the punter would kick and everybody had to come and lay out and dive and try to block the punt. And I don't even dive in pools. I don't even do that. But the guy before me, right before me, dove and the kicker kicked him and split his jaw wide open. And I said, Coach, I'll go back there and return these punts. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be that punt returner. Special people, Jason Phillips, who's the offensive coordinator at University of Houston, but when we went at it against each other in Atlanta on the scout team, he didn't have Sundays to play. He had Wednesdays and Thursdays, and he went at my butt. We had a battle every day, and I love you, Jay Field, for that. The Snoop D-O-double-G. Thank you for coming, my man. Q, where you at? Cube, I've been loving you since the early 90s, baby. Thank you. Jerry Jones taught me so much about family, taught me so much about business, taught me a lot about life. Do you understand this is the Hall of Fame? I grew up on some of you guys. I couldn't wait to just get a glimpse of that television and some of you guys to play against the Marinos, to play against the Montanans. Troy Aikman, man, Emmitt Smith, Mike Irvin, are you kidding me? Jerry Rice, Steve Young, I got to play with. This game taught me how to be a man. This game taught me if I get knocked down, I got to get my butt back up again. This game taught me that some things in life you can't do too prematurely. In football, they call it offside, and life is just life. Throughout this game, I've lost some people, but throughout this game, I've gained five wonderful, beautiful kids. DeAndre, Deion Jr., Shiloh, Shador, Shalomai, with all my team's jerseys on, I love you. Thank you, babies. This game, I appreciate this game so much because I thought about it as a child. I wanted to do it, and they told me that we would get compensated and paid for a game that I always loved. And I hear so many people say, I would do this for free. I would too, as long as you're doing it for free. So I admire this game. I like this game. It taught me how to be a man. It taught me how to get up. It taught me how to live and play with pain, this game. This game taught me so much about people. It taught me so much about timing. It taught me so much about focus, dedication, submitting oneself, and sacrifices. This game. And I went at this game, and I attacked this game because I made a promise that I needed this game to fulfill. And I said, Mama, because I was tired of seeing her go to work and come home all tired. I said, I'm going to be rich one day. Mama, I'm going to make a lot of money. And you will never have to work another day of your life. My mama said, that's fine, but until then, you get that lawnmower and go out there and cut that grass. It's something inside of me, Mama, that I never told you. that I never could admit, and I'm going to share it with all of you because now we're family. I played for a youth team called the Fort Myers Rebels, and they blessed me. They took me all over the country to play and expose me to things, expose you to things. And everybody on their team, their parents owned something, and their parents were doctors or lawyers or the chief of police. It was that type of organization. Me and one of my friends were the only African-American kids that was on that team, and it was a very affluent team, and I was ashamed of my mama. Because my mama worked in the hospital. She cleaned up the hospital. She pushed the cart. And I was ashamed of my mama, who sacrificed, who loved me, who protected me, who gave me everything I want to make sure I was best dressed in school. And I had everything that was late that came out. I had it first. I was ashamed of my mama. Because one of my friends in high school, he saw her in a hospital one night pushing a cart, and he came back and he clowned me. He ridiculed me and he mocked me because of my mom. So I made a pledge to myself that I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it may take. I'm not going to do anything illegal. But my mama would never have to work another day of her life. I created this image, this thing that you could imagine. You could love him or hate him, but he was pride. I would pre-rehearse the quotes. I would pre-rehearse the sayings because I knew I had the substance. I knew I had the goods. I knew I had the work ethic. But I needed to secure myself enough that my mama would never have to work another day of her life. So throughout my whole career, I understood there were going to be stones. Because when you make it a difference, it's going to be haters. When you're provoking change, it's going to be naysayers. People don't condone what they've never seen. And some of the stuff I tried to do, they had never seen. But when you talked about me, media, guess what? Behind you, I saw my mama. When you wrote about me, when you naysayed me, when you criticized me, I saw right through your papers, right through your TV, and I saw my mama. When you told me what I couldn't do, when you told me what I didn't do, when you told me what I would never be, I saw my mama pushing that cart. When you told me I was too small, I wasn't educated enough, I saw my mama. I don't know if you figured it out by now, but I just gave you prime. I just gave you the formula and who is really standing before you. Because I was trick-or-treating, and it wasn't even Halloween. Because all the things you really thought I was, and some of the things you didn't like, you didn't love, you didn't want to accept, I was doing it for my mama.
So there you go. Heartfelt stuff from Deion Sanders, the Hall of Fame speech. Just want to give you tidbits of that. Thank you all for, again, for those of you who watched the speeches and wanted that this weekend. It is, again, impassioned, great speeches from not only Deion Sanders, but from Shannon Sharpe as well, talking about family, loved ones. But now it is time to get into the fun stuff. Week 7 National Football League. Look, I'm just going to run down, because I know we're short on time, guys. The Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of Greeny and Golic. Obviously, it won't be quite the same fun sound bites and interjections from the Peter Griffins, the Stewies, the Quagmires, and all the characters that are part of their usual blurbs. But nonetheless, here we go. Greeny's winners in the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for Week 7. He's got Denver plus the 3. taking care of Miami. He's got Chicago over Tampa Bay getting the 1 point. Yeah, the Bears are actually a 1 point underdog. He's also got well, I'm sorry. That's the only two that Greeny's got. Wow. Okay. Then on the other side, Goley's got Cleveland taking care of Seattle and getting the 3 points, and he's got Tampa Bay over the Bears on that side. So not much to that, guys. That was pretty simple. All right. So anyway, Golic likes the Buccaneers to beat Chicago in London. Now you know, y'all know me. I'm a bit of a Bears homer. I admit that, but I'm also a realist. And I'm looking down this. Now, yes, Tampa Bay is one of the youngest teams in National Football League, average age about 25. They play fast. They play quick. And it was a very, very opportunistic defense last week that took three turnovers to basically take out the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints had a chance to win that game before Breeze throws pick number three in the end zone late in the game. I really can't call this one, guys. I'm still going to go with the Bears. If the Bears are getting a point, then you know what? If I'm going to the window today, I'm probably taking Chicago only because the Bears have taken a page out of the New England Patriots. And the Patriots, as everyone knows, have largely been a machine for a very long time. How they got over there, how they addressed this week, largely as a business week. There wasn't a lot of laughter and giggling and going to see sights from the Chicago side. It is an older, more mature team, and they're looking at this as a business trip. So I'm going to keep my little Chicago pick and stick stick with the idea and the concept that the Bears are going to go over there and approach this thing as I think they should, as just being nothing more than the business trip that it is. You're going to hear some more fun things. Obviously, the Week 7 VIN picks comes your way shortly. A couple of things going on in the National Football League. Some love-hate for Jay Cutler this week. Antonio Gates is back with the Chargers, so we need to have a nice little start-em and sit-em segment. For those of you playing in the Fantasy Football League, we'll get into your the inactives and the Fantasy Wire, who's where, who's doing what, and what all that means to all of you trying to figure out now in the last, in this week 7, who you're going to start, who you're going to sit. Well, let's go down who's ruled out for those of you in the fantasy world as we roll right now. Week 7 inactives right now. Javid Best in Detroit's not playing. Bradford, the quarterback with the Rams, not playing. Jason Campbell is out. Of course, you know he's got a broken collarbone and now actually may be out of a job since the Raiders went out and got Carson Palmer. Chris Cooley is out. The tight end is out. The wideout Lee Evans is out. James Harrison is out. Andre Johnson, Texas, is out. Janikowski, the kicker with the Raiders, is out. Of course, Dallas Felix Jones is out. Of course, you all know about Peyton Manning being out. Zach Miller, Seattle, he's out. Sammy Schroeder is out. The doubtfuls today, LeGarrette Blount. Again, that's your Tampa running game. He's doubtful today. Gates is active for today's game, even though he was questionable earlier on. Peyton Hillis is questionable. He probably will play as well. And Julio Jones, also questionable. Joseph Addai of the Colts will play in the night game. A couple of things to note. Vincent Jackson is active for today's game. Mike Tolbert is active as well. So it's a couple of things to look for as we get into your rankings at 10:39 on your Week 7 of the National Football League. Let's run down them as we always do. Number 10 for your quarterbacks this week is Josh Freeman going up against that Bears defense. Maybe the prognosticators see something that a lot of us don't. Number 9, Matt Schaub out of Houston. Banged up Matt Schaub, but again, still ranks number 9. Number 8, Tim Tebow, only because he's going up against the Miami Dolphins and he's playing in his old stomping grounds. Number 7, Phillip Rivers, the San Diego Chargers quarterback, goes up against the Jets. Number 6, Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers up against the Arizona Cardinals. Number 5, which I love, Cam Newton, Carolina, going up against Washington. Number 4, Matt Stafford, Detroit against an Atlanta soft coverage corners. Yes, you got to love that. Number 3, Tony Romo gets the St. Louis Rams. He should have a field day. Number 2, Breeze gets the Indianapolis Colts. He should have a big day. And number 1, as if it's just an ongoing theme, Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay. Green Bay has to be the best team in the National Football League that absolutely gets no love. They get no love. They get no real hype. They get no real pub. And you know, for what it's worth, I love that because they just go about their business week in, week out. They just win football games. And that's all they do, and that's all they need to do is just continue to win football games. That is, I hate to say it, but that is the best team in the National Football League. All right, to your running backs. Week 7, number 10. Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville, going up against Baltimore tonight. Number 9, Ryan Matthews of the Chargers, who gets the Jets. Number 8, Chris Johnson of Tennessee gets the Houston Texans. Number 7, Rashard Mendenhall in Pittsburgh going up against the Cardinals. Number 6, Michael Turner going up against the Lions. Number 5, Arian Foster out of the Houston Texans, who gets the Titans this week. Number 4, Adrian Peterson dropping from the number 1 spot. Why? Because he's going up against Green Bay. Number 3, Matt Forte in Chicago. There's a first. Forte ahead of Adrian Peterson. Comes in at number 3. He gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 2, Ray Rice, the Baltimore Ravens running back, gets Jacksonville. And number 1, and this is almost just purely because of the matchup, Darren McFadden of Oakland, who goes up against Kansas City. If you got McFadden, you're definitely starting that horse today. So that's it for your running backs. Now to your wide receivers. I just remember the song, Michael, whatever his name was, wide receiver. That was a great song back in the day. Anyway, all right, number 10, Brandon Marshall, Miami, goes up against Denver. Number 9, Marcus Colston. The Saints getting a chance to shoot at the Colts. Number 8, Roddy White of the Falcons going up against the Lions. Number 7, Dez Bryant going up against the Rams. Number 5, Dwayne Bo going up against the Raiders. Number 5, Steve Smith, Carolina Panthers version of Steve Smith, going up against the Redskins. Number 4, Miles Austin, the Dallas wideout, gets the Rams today. Number 3, Greg Jennings out of Green Bay goes up against the Vikes. Number 2, Mikey Wallace in Pittsburgh gets the Cardinals. And number 1, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, going up against those soft boys in Atlanta all over again. 10:42, we roll on to your tight ends. Number 10 this week, you're going to start to see an ongoing theme here with these tight ends. Number 10, Kellen Winslow, Tampa Bay, of course, going up against Chicago. Number 9, Greg Olsen, Carolina, going up against the Redskins. Number 8, Antonio Gates, now that he's active, he's in the list, going against the Jets. Number 7, Brandon Pettigrew, big target for Matt Stafford, going up against the Falcons. Number 6, Tony Gonzalez gets the Lions today. Number 5, Freddie Davis. A lot of Freddie Davis love this past week, going up against Carolina. Number 4, Owen Daniels from the Houston Texans going up against the Titans. Number 3, Jermichael Finley going up against the Vikings today. Number 2, Jason Witten from Dallas going up against the Rams. And number 1, and here's your theme, again, Big Jimmy Graham of the New Orleans Saints going up against the Indianapolis Colts. You've got to love a Jimmy Graham sighting today. Again, the Colts are, I don't want to say they're in shambles, but certainly in disarray. No team has missed one player as significantly as the Indianapolis Colts have. This is not a matter of rebuilding when Peyton hangs it up. This team will be set back for quite a long time. And as good as they've been for so many years with Peyton at the helm, this is what happens when you shut down the most valuable player in the National Football League. Again, is what it is. To the kickers, number 10, Nick Folk of the Jets gets the Chargers today. Number 9, Nick Novak, little San Diego Charger love today, going up against the Jets. Number 8, Robbie Gould of the Bears, about time, against Tampa Bay. Number 7, Neil Rackers of the Texans. Number 6, Dan Bailey of Dallas. Number 5, Billy Cundiff in Baltimore. Number 4, John Casey of the Saints. Number 3, Mason Crosby in Green Bay. Number 2, Jason Hansen from Detroit. And number 1, and if and only if he plays, and he's questionable. Actually, I think he actually may be out. It would have been Sebastian Janikowski, so I think you're going to see Hansen number 1, which means that number 10 then becomes Rob Baronis of Tennessee. So the last and most important part for most of your points for your fantasy love is going to come from your defensive side of the ball today. And there should be some fun ones rallying on the defensive side. Let's get into it, rock and roll. Number 10, the Skins against Carolina going up against Cam Newton. Number 9, the Chargers going up against Sanchez and the Jets. Number 8, the Saints going up against Painter and the Colts. Number 7, the Lions going up against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Number 6, the Chicago Bears against Josh Freeman and the Bucks. Number 5, the Steelers going against Kevin Cobb and the Cardinals. The Dallas Cowboys going up against A.J. Feely and the Rams. Number 3, the New York Jets going up against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Number 2, Green Bay going up against now Christian Ponder starting for Minnesota today. And the number 1 defense this week, the Baltimore Ravens going up against Blaine Gabbert and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there you go. That is your fantasy stardoms and situms. If you've got those guys, any of those guys, any of those teams, any of those position players in your fantasy squads, that's where you need to be this week. Don't want to look at trend spotting. Don't want to look at the commission's court. Don't want to know. Well, let's look at the love-hate for week 7. This is always a fun piece to look at, if for nothing more than there's always something said about Jay Cutler or someone that you know from Middle Earth where this is concerned. It just is what it is. Courtesy of the talented Mr. Roto from ESPN. Scrolling down the list, there's nothing here that is of real relevance just yet. People don't like Cutler's social choices. Okay, well, that's not much to look at. All right, look at the Chargers-Jets game. Nothing fancy, nothing there. We can move on. All right, so what have we touched on today? We talked about Albert snapping off of the Cardinals and the Rangers. We talked about college football love, what's going on. We talked about your fantasy football start of a sitting. We gave you a blip of love from the Hall of Fame speech. We are, you know, nearing that time, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting close. I know you're on the edge of your seat. You're with bated breath. You just can't wait to see what's going to happen on these week 7 VIN picks. How this is going to all play itself out. And guys, the reality is, you know, 6 minutes and 20 seconds of the best picks you will ever hear. What are we? We've only 72 and 20 this year. No, it's not that good. It's not. That was last year. We were on fire last year. This year not been so good because teams like the Cowboys have found ways to lose games they should have won. But again, it is what it is. So, well, I'll tell you what. It's 10:46. We can truncate a portion of this. I know you're sitting on the edge of your seat. Those of you that are streaming us or will play us back before kickoffs today. So let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, the Week 7 VIN picks. Here you go. Week 7 in the National Football League. Here we go. Atlanta goes to Detroit. The Lions and Megatron will have to deal with Matt Ryan and Roddy White. And to be honest with you, at a 1 p.m. start, Detroit at home, you gotta love the Lions. Matt Ryan and the Falcons have not proven that they are a legitimate contender in the NFC. Denver goes to Miami. The Tim Tebow Show comes back home to Florida. There'll be more Florida fans than Dolphin fans in this game. And lo and behold, Tim Tebow and the Broncos shock the Dolphins and get a win. Houston at Tennessee. The Texans go to the Titans. A banged up matchup against a pretty decent Tennessee defense kind of makes for a good football team. But I'm going to stick and stay with what I believe to be the fact. Houston Texans are just a better team than Tennessee, even though there's no Andre Johnson. So there's a split, there's really a split perspective across the board on this one, but I honestly believe that it will be the Titans that eke out a close win against our Texans. The Bears go to Tampa Bay. However, it's not in Tampa Bay, it's in London, where there'll be more Bear fans than Buccaneer fans. Now keep in mind, the people that own the Buccaneers also own one of the biggest soccer teams in the UK. That will not matter. If the Bears do max protect, as they did against Minnesota last Sunday night, they will be able to handle Tampa Bay's young and energetic defense. In the final analysis, it should be a Matt Forte show. It should be a Jay Cutler to, oh my God, is that going to be a Roy Williams sighting? It very well could be. Give me the Bears and the 3 points. Bears beating the Buccaneers in London. Seattle travels to Cleveland to take on the vaunted Browns with a healing Peyton Hillis coming off the flu. Who's the quarterback in Seattle? Oh, they're going to blow the dust off Whitehurst? Charlie. Well, it won't matter. Peyton Hillis will get over his flu and should run Seattle right out of the building. Give me the Browns over the Seahawks. San Diego traveling east to play the Jets. This could be the awakening of the New York Jets. And it's not an indictment of Phillip Rivers or Vincent Jackson or who may be starting Antonio Gates. Not at all. It is, however, a West Coast team coming east to play a Jets game for a 1 o'clock game when the Jets are finally trying to define what their identity and who the heck they are. I'm telling you right now, Sanchez, Holmes, all the Jets talent, Plaxico must touch the ball. If Plaxico Burress touches the ball more than 5 times, the Jets will win this game 31-21. I'll take the Jets at home. The Washington Redskins travel to Carolina. This could be the Cam Newton show for real. The Redskins have a decent defense, but their offense now being led by John Vick will be questionable. Carolina's defense is good. Cam Newton will put on a show. He's at home. He's in front of his fans, and the Redskins don't scare you. If the Carolina defense gets to John Beck, what are their options? going back to Rex? I don't think so. Give me the Panthers at home to upset the Redskins. The Steelers travel to the desert to play the Arizona Cardinals. The Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to find out what their identity is. Big Ben has said it as late as this morning. If the Steelers play to their capabilities, they will take care of business at home. But wait a minute, they're not at home. They're on the road. So what's their identity going to be? It's going to be Rashard Mendenhall. It's going to be Mike Wallace. It's going to be Arizona not being able to save their quarterback another game once again. Give me the Steelers by a tutty in the desert. The Kansas City Chiefs go to Oakland to take on the vaunted Raiders. The running Raiders with Darren McFadden leading the league in rushing. But Jackie Battle is a formidable force taking care of Jamaal Charles' running duties out of Kansas City. It will not be easy, but I'll take the Oakland Raiders by 7 because they can simply run the football, and they will run it right down Kansas City's throat. The St. Louis Rams travel to Dallas to take on Tony Romo and the vaunted Cowboys. The Cowboys, who according to Dez Bryant, are unbeatable. Forget the fact that they've got 3 losses. According to Dez Bryant, they've only lost because they beat themselves. Anyway, no Sam Bradford. You don't have any faith in the wide receivers in St. Louis. This is all going to be Dallas. If you've got Tony Romo on your starting fantasy squad, this is the week to play him. Green Bay goes to Minnesota to play the Vikings. The now Christian Ponder-led Minnesota Vikings. Seriously? It's not going to matter. Green Bay all day. They'll remain undefeated. The Indianapolis Colts will travel to New Orleans to take on the very, very offended, very, very pissed off New Orleans Saints. I don't know how you look at this any other way. Painter can't decide if he wants to throw to Garcon or Reggie Wayne. The Saints lost a tough game courtesy of 3 picks by Drew Brees against Tampa Bay last week. This sets up to be an absolute New Orleans blowout. Give me the Saints by 10 over the Indianapolis Colts. The Monday nighter this week, Baltimore travels down to Jacksonville to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, Jack Del Rio's job is certainly in trouble. Blaine Gabbert is a rookie, and you've got the Baltimore defense with Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. Flacco can now throw the ball just about anywhere he wants to, and someone's catching it. Anquan Boldin is there. Isn't that what our buddy Peter Griffin does, fellow guy? That will be what happens when Jacksonville has to lick his wounds after Baltimore puts the beat down on him. So Baltimore gets that win, and that is your Week 7. Sell Cole, Ben Picks, 2011. Bank it. Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Peace!